Jesus came with a message to deliver. And we saw, let's go back to Mark if you have your Bible, Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. He said in verse 1 of the Gospel of Mark, the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So Mark was going to write about the Gospel, and that's what his book is about, or his letter is about, or his epistle, or the whole thing. It's called the Gospel, the best word of it. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in the prophets, behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And then it talks about John the Baptist, who was sent to go before Jesus Christ, which he did. And then in verse 14, as we saw, now after John was put in prison, when John's ministry was done, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, saying, the time is fulfilled. The time for this announcement was now, at that time. And the kingdom of God is at hand. The king of the kingdom of God was there, and it's at hand. And he was there. He said, repent, which means turn back to God. He was speaking in the land of Judah, and they were in a covenant relationship with God and had strayed from it, as we humans tend to do. And he's saying, return to God and believe in the good news, the gospel of the coming kingdom of God. Many people wonder about the kingdom of God. You don't hear much about it. Many talk more about Jesus Christ himself. They say he was a nice person. They say he died for our sins. But they're usually not too quick to tell you what sin is or to try to define it in some way. And they say he gave interesting parables and stories. And they say he loves you. Jesus loves you. All of which is true. But they don't talk about the message that he brought. Suppose you had a rich relative who wanted to give you an inheritance. And he sent a messenger to tell you about the inheritance that he wanted you to have. And the messenger says, your uncle is a nice person. Your uncle has sacrificed for you. He said many interesting things during his lifetime. Your uncle loves you. But he never tells you about the inheritance. You would never hear about what is in store for you, and you would never be able to participate in it. Let me give you one example. Most people are aware of the Sermon on the Mount. It's certainly one of the most famous parts of the Scripture, most well known. In it, it says in Matthew 5:5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. This is from one of the best known teachings of Jesus Christ. And many can quote that, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. But do they truly believe it? Jesus Christ meant exactly what he said. The meek, the spiritually humble, will inherit the earth. They're not going to heaven. Jesus died for the gospel. It's important for us to get it right. Jesus also said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So let's put aside the various doctrines, traditions, and ideas of men, and look into the very word of God to see what God says about his coming kingdom. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. We were there earlier. Luke chapter 1. Very first, when Luke began the gospel, began his gospel. Luke chapter 1, let's begin in verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel of Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth. Luke 1:27 now, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, rejoice, highly favored one, The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, considering what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. We know the Spanish word, very common now. Call his name Jesus. Jesus means Savior. He's the one that brings salvation, and he's the only one who brings salvation. You shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. He's the Son of God in a way nobody else is. That God is actually his Father. There was no human father. All the rest of us have a father and a mother. He was the Son of God in a unique way. And he will be great and will be called the Son of God, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father. He's not only God's son, he's also David's son. The Lord God will give unto him the throne of his father David. He's going to be given a throne. David's throne was on the earth, and Jesus Christ's throne will also be on the earth. No mere human is going to sit on that throne. Verse 33, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and it will never end. David also reigned over the house of Jacob. It's also called, and we'll look at a scripture in the Old Testament, where it's the throne of Israel. Because it's the 12 tribes of Israel. And Jesus Christ will reign over the same throne. David ruled in Jerusalem. So will Jesus Christ. And when he takes that throne and sits on it, it will last forever. It will be around forever. I don't know how many people really know that or understand that. Let's go to Acts chapter 1, the book of Acts. Chapter 1, which was also written by Luke, Acts chapter 1. And Luke comments on that at the beginning of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 1 and verse 1. The former account I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. The Gospel of Luke is about what Jesus did and what he taught. Until the day in which he was taken up after he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he also presented himself alive after his suffering by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. When he was resurrected, he spent time with his apostles, giving them instructions, explaining what they would do, and Luke summed it up by saying, speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Jesus talked about the kingdom of God to the apostles. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father, you will find, is to be granted the Holy Spirit, which, he said, he commanded them to stay in Jerusalem. This was the start. The church was the start in Jerusalem. But wait for the promise of Father, which, he said, you have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Pentecost is 50 days from unleavened bread. And he was with them 40 days. And he said, don't depart to Jerusalem until that Holy Spirit is given, which was done on the day of Pentecost. That's where Acts chapter 2 starts. Therefore, when they came together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? They were expecting him to establish the kingdom of Israel. And they wanted to know, are you going to do it at this time? Are you going to do it now? Verse 7. Actually, they were asking when he would sit on David's throne and reign over the children of Israel. Are you going to restore the kingdom to Israel now? And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times and the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. It's interesting, the writings of these men have gone to the ends of the earth, all parts, all nations, just as Jesus did. Now, please notice something. They were asking about the time. When are you going to set up this kingdom? But they weren't asking about where. They were asking when. Christ taught them for 3.5 years while he was in the flesh, and then for a final intense 40 days in the resurrection, they knew the plan. They were asking him when. And he said, it's not for you to know the time. And so he never answered their question to know the time. But they were told what they were to do, to witness of him in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Verse 9. Now when he had spoken these things, while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. He was taken up, and a cloud received him, and they saw him ascend on a cloud. And while he was looking while they were looking steadfastly toward heaven, he went up. Behold, two men stood by him in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into the heaven? Well, of course, they were watching him go up. The same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven, will also come down in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. He's going to come back exactly the way he went up, on a cloud and ascending up. And when he comes back, he'll just do the reverse. He'll come back exactly the same way. Verse 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, the Mount of Olives. This all took place on the Mount of Olives, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey. If you've ever been to Jerusalem, the Mount of Olives is on the east, and you can stand up on it, and you can look down into the temple area. It's actually higher than the temple area, so you can look into it. And it's quite a sight to see that. Of course, it's not what it was back then. So the disciples had asked this question before. If you look at Matthew chapter 24, Matthew chapter 24, on the end of chapter 23, Jesus speaks very boldly to the scribes and Pharisees as the God he is. He spoke to them very strongly about how far off they were in their teaching. And then in verse 37 of Matthew 23, he said, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I would gather you as your children gathers together, as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you would not. See, your house is left to you desolate. He was walking out of the temple as a human being for the last time. The God of Israel, who said he would dwell in that temple, walked out of it. See, your house is left to you desolate. They had a building, but it was desolate. For I say to you, you shall see me no more till you say, Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And they regard him with respect. That's still in the future. Chapter 24, verse 1. Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to show him the buildings of the temple. The disciples were impressed by the buildings, and I'm sure they were impressive. But the one who created the heavens and the earth would not be too impressed. And Jesus said to them, Do you not see all these things? Assuredly, I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, as he sat on the Mount of Olives, we're back on the Mount of Olives again, the disciples came to him privately this time and said, Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? When he comes back to the earth, it's going to be a new age. So they ask him, what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of this age, of the age? Jesus answered and said to them, Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. The first words out of his mouth was, Beware of religious deception. there is so much religious deception. It's very sad. Then he goes on to talk about what will happen in the world at that time from verses 6 to 13. And then he said, and this gospel, in verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. And then the end will come. That's what you came to hear today about the gospel of the kingdom. And it was to be preached in all the world before the end comes. Jump down, if you would, to verse 29. He goes on talking about various other things, the great tribulation, terrible time that's going to come to the earth. Verse 29, he says, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. I can't imagine that. The powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man. They said, what will be the sign? Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven. He went up on a cloud. He's coming back on a cloud. They'll see him coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. His return will be seen by all, but it will not be welcomed by all. On a side point, if he only comes to rapture the saints, why would the nations mourn about that? They're gone. They mourn because he's coming with power, and he's coming to stay here, and he's coming to establish that throne on the earth. He's got power, and he's going to use it. And he's coming with great glory. They perceive they cannot defeat him. That's why they mourn. And he says in verse 31, and he will send angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. He's going to gather his elect, his servants, with the sound of a trumpet. Remember that trumpet. We're going to hear about that again. If you go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul writes about the return of Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 15. 1 Thessalonians 4:15. For we say to you by the word of the Lord that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord is coming, will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout and with the voice of an archangel and with the trumpet of God. There's that trumpet again. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Please notice, he's going to descend from heaven where he's been at the right hand of the Father. And the saints are not with him. They are raised from the grave. They rise to meet him. They haven't been in heaven with him, coming down with him. They've been on the earth, in the graves, waiting to come up. They're described as the dead in Christ. They're in Christ, but they're dead. They're not up in heaven. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Verse 17. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds. Here's those clouds that he's coming back with. To meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. The dead in Christ and the newly raised saints will rise from the earth to meet him in the clouds. Now it's important to realize what this verse doesn't say. This verse does not say, and we'll all go back to heaven with the Lord. We'll rise in the clouds, meet him, which means it's in our atmosphere. There are no clouds outside the atmosphere. And it simply says that wherever he goes, the saints will be with him. We have to go to other scriptures to see what that says. Let me read that again, verse 17. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, again, the atmosphere. And thus shall we always be with the Lord. And they're joined together then, they stay together forever, but we don't know where. Let's go back to the book of Zechariah. That's the second last book in the Old Testament. If your Bible's got a marker, you can go to Matthew and we'll get to Zechariah real quick. Just bypass Malachi. Zechariah chapter 14. And let's look at verse 1. Zechariah 14, verse 1. Behold, the day is coming. The day of the Lord is coming. The day of the Lord is a Bible phrase that talks about the time when God intervenes on the earth. The day of the Lord. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. For I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. He's going to bring them to Jerusalem. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half the city shall go into captivity, but the remnant of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Verse 3, then the Lord, this is the Lord we're talking about here, will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. They're about to destroy the earth, as we heard in the first message, and he's going to stop them. He's coming with power and great glory. Then the Lord will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. So he comes down in the clouds and he stands on the Mount of Olives. That's the same place he went up to heaven as we saw in the book of Acts, which faces Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall be split in two from east to west, making a very large valley. Half the mountain shall move toward the north and half toward the south. Then you shall flee through my mountain valley, for the mountain valley shall reach Azal. Yes, you shall flee as you fled from the earthquake in the days of Uzziah, king of Judah. Notice the last part of verse 5. Thus the Lord my God will come, and all the saints with you. When he comes back to the earth, he'll come in the clouds, the saints, dead and the living, will rise to meet him, and then his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. And then he will start dealing with the problems of the earth. And he'll have all his saints. Saint means a holy person. It means somebody that has the Holy Spirit. Because the person is not holy by themselves. Only holy through the Holy Spirit dwelling in him. With all the saints with him. And notice down in verse 16 of Zechariah 14. Zechariah 14, verse 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which come against Jerusalem. Now, please notice, it's the armies that are in Jerusalem. And it's the armies Christ deals with, the military ones, who are out to kill. He stops them. But all their relatives are back in their homelands. They're all back there. And they're left. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem, their families, all their others living back in their homelands, shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts. When it talks about hosts, it usually means armies. They're going to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. He says when he's reigning there, the whole world's going to come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whichever of the families of the earth do not come up, these aren't necessarily converted people, please notice. They said, we don't want to come up to the Feast of Tabernacles. God says, okay. And it shall be that whoever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, on them there'll be no rain. And if the family of Egypt will not come up and enter in, Egyptians aren't too keen to go to Jerusalem, even today. If the family of Egypt will not come up and enter in, they shall have no rain. They shall receive the plague which with the Lord strikes the nations that do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment of Egypt and the punishment of all the nations that do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. When he reigns on the earth, he's going to have the holy days observed. And part of the holy days are to go to the Feast of Tabernacles. And that'll be, these are the nations on earth to begin to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, let me show you a few scriptures about the kingdom itself and what it will be like. Let's go, first of all, to Revelation chapter 11. You probably know this if you know Handel's Messiah. Mr. Handel helped educate the Western world through his oratorio, The Messiah, with many of these scriptures. Revelation 11 and verse 15. Revelation 11 and verse 15. Then the seventh angel sounded. That's a trumpet, and the seventh is the last. There are seven trumpets. And this is the last one. And when that last trumpet comes, it says, then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world, the kingdoms of this world, Russia, China, the United States, Canada, Germany, France, all the nations of Africa and South America, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ. They now become His kingdom. They were doing whatever they wanted up to that point. Now they become part of His kingdom. The kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever. We read when He gets on that throne, He's going to reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and who was and is yet to come. He's ever living. Because you have taken your great power and reigned, and the nations were angry. And your wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, and you shall reward those your servants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, and should destroy those who destroy the earth. If he didn't intervene, he's going to destroy it. And he's going to wait till that very point. Have you ever wondered why? We humans, you say, well, we're going to do it my way, I'm going to do it my own way. He's going to wait until it's quite clear that they were going to destroy life from off the earth. They'll never be say, oh, if you give us another week, we could have figured it out. Nope. He's going to wait till the very last minute. So there's no question of what's going to happen. He makes it abundantly clear. The kingdoms of this world, when he returns, will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 2. We'll have a few prophecies from Isaiah. There are many prophecies, about the kingdom, but we'll look at a few of them from Isaiah in the time we have. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 1. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 1. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. This is a prophecy about Judah and Jerusalem. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above all the hills. That's a poetic way to say that the Lord's house is going to be established above all other governments on the face of the earth and all the hills. Mountains are the large governments, hills are little governments. And he says, and all nations shall flow, other translations shall stream. They're going to voluntarily go there. Surely at the Feast of Tabernacles, and maybe at other times. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. Jacob's God. And he will teach us his ways. We don't want our ways. He will teach us his ways. And we shall walk in his paths. We don't want our paths. Tried that, been there, done that. No thanks. We want his ways, and we want his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Notice that it comes out of Zion. Zion is a section of where the temple is. For out of Zion shall go forth the Lord. I should point out that Zion is also referred to as the saints, the ones who serve him. For out of Zion shall go forth the Lord. And the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord we heard about in the last lecture, is the name of Jesus Christ, the Word. It's a double meaning. It means his words will come out from Jerusalem. They'll come out from Zion, and they'll come out from Jerusalem. And he shall judge between the nations. The nations are going to have their problems settled and dealt by Jesus Christ. And rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares. They're going to say with the sword, now what am I going to do with this sword? I know, I can prune with it. And they're going to redo it, change it around. They voluntarily do this. They aren't forced to. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. There's a statue outside the United Nations given by Russia that has a picture of that. This is the fulfillment of that scripture. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation. Neither shall they learn war anymore. They won't be learning war. They'll be learning peace. Everyone will learn to dwell at peace and to learn to dwell together. You won't have a West Point. You won't have an Annapolis. Colleges for war. They won't learn war anymore. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. That was covered again this morning, but we'll go over it again. For unto us, this is Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, and Mr. Handel made this one well known. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. He will shoulder the government. Some people think that's a reference to the epaulets that people wear, or what they used to wear at government. I don't know if that's true or not. But he will shoulder the government. And his name will be called Wonderful. My wife, Evelyn, and I have lived in many nations of the world. We've traveled a great deal before we came to Chicago. And I've been to many places with many different governments. No one ever called their government wonderful. I've never known one to come close. They usually gripe about it or one thing or another. But this one, his name will be called Wonderful. Counselor. Counselor is somebody you say, what should I do? And with him, you get the right answer. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. He says, I and my Father are one. The Prince of Peace. He knows the way to peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, where his government increases, peace increases. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David. Well, that's what the angel told Mary. And over his kingdom, his with a capital H, to order it and establishment with judgment and justice. People today from all backgrounds feel they're not getting justice in the system. And it's true, there's a lot of injustice. This one, it says, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal, the fire of the Lord of hosts will perform this. It hasn't happened yet, but it's on the way. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 11, a couple chapters over again. These are just a few that I thought would interest you and help us see the kingdom of God on the earth. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, a descendant of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. Notice how it rests upon him. It's a picture of peace all by itself. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. Wisdom and understanding are sadly lacking on our earth today. Counsel and might are God's, and he'll know the right way. The Spirit of knowledge to understand, and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he does not judge by the sight of his eyes. He doesn't judge by how tall you are, whether you're male or female, white, black, yellow. He doesn't judge by the sight of his eyes. Nor decide by the hearing of his ears. He won't go by what somebody said. He won't go by what language you speak. He won't go by anything that comes to his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor and decide with equity for the meek. Here we are with the meek again, the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. And with the breath of his lips, he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. The wolf also will dwell with the lamb. It's going to be a change in the nature of animals. And I don't understand that, I'll tell you. But I'm very good to see how he's going to do that. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb. The leopard shall lie down with a young goat. A calf and a young lion and the fatling together. And a little child shall lead them. Now, it's talking about a little child in one sense. We understand that the children would be safe with the animal. But there's another way that this is so. The nations were described in Daniel as lions and bears and hostile animals. Jesus said, except you become like a little child, you'll by no means enter the kingdom of God. The nations will be led by a little child, one of God's children, to guide them into the right way. And they won't be hostile anymore. This is physical, but it's also prophetic about the nations. He said, the cow and the bear shall graze, the young one shall lie down, the lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the nursing child shall play with a cobra's hole, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the viper's den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain. Nobody hurts and nobody destroys. Four, the reason for that, the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The reason nobody hurts is they have the knowledge of the Lord. And it's going to be so complete as it's like the waters that cover the sea. Absolutely, totally, and completely covered. Christ reigning on earth. Let me show you Matthew 19. Matthew 19. A young man had come up to Jesus and asked what he had to do to come to the kingdom of God. And he said, forsake your riches. And the young man said, no thanks. He talked about the rich entering the kingdom of God. That's another parable. But here he talked about the rich, verses 23, harder for a rich man to come into the earth because we tend to rely on our wealth. We tend to rely on what we have. It's human. So he'd been explaining this about the difficulty of the rich entering the kingdom. Verse 28. So verse 27. Then Peter answered and said to him, see, we have left all and followed you. No, that is remarkable. They did leave everything, and they did follow him. See, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? Jesus said to them, assuredly, I say to you, that in the regeneration means rebirth. We were born once of our physical family. We had to be born of our Heavenly Father. Assuredly, I say to you that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, remember what the angel said to Mary? he'll be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. He said, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. He's going to have one of his apostles guiding each of the 12 tribes of Israel. Verse 29. And everyone, there's going to be a lot more in that than just the 12 apostles. Everyone who have left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake. They sacrifice for his name's sake. Savior. Messiah, Lord, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold. 100 brothers, 100 mothers, 100 houses, all shall receive 100. And inherit, there's that word inherit again, eternal life. And inherit eternal life. It's important for us to understand that they'll be judging the 12 tribes of Israel on earth. And others who sacrifice for others will be given all kinds of things and 100-fold and inherit eternal life. I'd like to finish by showing you Psalm 2, the second psalm. This is a mighty psalm, in my view, about Jesus Christ reigning on earth. Psalm 2, verse 1. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? Why are they so upset, all the nations? And the people, the nations and the people, plot a vain thing. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. They're working together, and this is what they're saying. Against the Lord and against his anointed, his Messiah. Actual word there is Messiah. saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast their cords away from them. Let's do away with God. Let's do away with all these rules, and we don't want any of them. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. He shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet have I set my king on my holy hill of Zion. He's going to put his king on this earth, and no nation's going to have anything to say about it. Remember Isaiah's words? For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. Yet have I set my king on my holy hill Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance. Inheritance. Did you know that he's going to give it to them as an inheritance? That takes a little explaining, and many don't know what it means, but that's a subject for another day on the details of that. But he's going to receive it as an inheritance. And the ends of the earth for your possession. He's going to possess the ends of the earth. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. That sounds like he's reckless. It's not. He's got the power. And people will respect it. Now therefore be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son. In other words, the margin says to receive instruction or receive teaching. In other words, to take a humble view, embrace discipline or receive instruction. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry. He's going to be king of the earth. You might as well treat him right. Lest he be angry and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. This is the second Psalm. It was prophesied long before. As I said, Christ said that the meek will inherit the earth. They will share with him the inheritance that he's going to receive. I hope you find these scriptures informative and perhaps even exciting. The good news Jesus Christ brought has been suppressed, but is being proclaimed today through his church. The church is made up of human beings who have frail human frailties and weaknesses, but blessed, in spite of their weaknesses, to be given the knowledge of the Lord. The knowledge that will one day fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. It's the message Jesus brought, the good news of the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ is going to turn this tortured planet into one vast paradise. And he will fulfill the prayer that he taught us all to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. At that time, his name will be hallowed by everybody on earth. Your kingdom come, not us go there. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Heaven's in great shape. It's the earth that's got the problems. And he will permit his assistants, his servants, to assist him with the job. Perhaps he's calling you to have a part in his work. If so, we welcome you. There's no greater privilege than to be among Christ's saints when he and they inherit the earth. We appreciate you coming, joining us for our Kingdom of God seminar.